Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Hello, everybody. I am Robert Murray here with a solo podcast today. As you can tell, Adam Weiner is not here. He is at spring training currently. I believe he's on vacation, which if that actually is indeed the case, good for Adam because he deserves it big time. Works harder than almost anybody that I know. So good for Adam on that one. But spring training is here. It is absolute madness so far here in Arizona. I have sources texting me all hours of the day wanting to meet up. Still have some free agents here, which is always an exciting time as well. So I'm anxious to dive into that and much more. Obviously, you can find my work on fansided.com. You can find me in the Discord. I'm answering questions there constantly. I'm trying to dunk on Canyon. I'm trying to do all sorts of different stuff there, which is always very fun. I'm anxious to dive into some off-season talk. I'm anxious to, also like off-season thoughts in general, just because, I mean, the off-season is pretty much over. As I said, there's some free agents. Want to make sure I put my tweet out the right way. All right, very good. I'm anxious to dive into this thing. And I wrote a story today on fansided.com talking about 10 teams who ended up winning the off-season here. And as I said, there's still some guys out there that are unsigned, but the majority of these big-name players are off the board. So I'm anxious to do this thing. So let's get started here. I'm going to start here with the Pittsburgh Pirates. And again, like AJ Pierzynski is going to get on me. He now follows me on Instagram. So that's always very good. But I do love what the Pirates did this offseason. Is they ended up, obviously, like their number one priority was upgrading the offense. They ended up getting Brandon Lowe. They got Ryan O'Hearn. And then they signed Marcell Ozuna. And the fact that they ended up getting all three of those guys is a huge bolster or a huge boost to that offense as a whole. And you combine that with that pitching staff that they have, and you have the makings there of a team that can really take the next step and possibly make the playoffs. I do believe they're going to be a playoff team this year. Just the vibes overall from that camp so far have been incredibly positive. And I really like what I'm seeing there. Even Ryan O'Hearn the other day compared them to the 23 Baltimore Orioles. And I mean, obviously it's very early in the spring, but the fact that he said that is rather noteworthy. So I'm definitely buying some stock here in the Pittsburgh Pirates. The other team that was incredibly aggressive this offseason was the Baltimore Orioles. And they felt like a team, especially with a new manager in Craig Albernaz, and a GM in Mike Elias, who I'm not going to say was fighting for his job because I feel like that'd be inaccurate. But considering their struggles in previous years, considering the expectations there as well, they needed to make some splashes. And they targeted Kyle Schwarber. They made a very aggressive offer there. They tried to get him. Obviously did not get him, but I feel like it's pretty safe to say they finished in second place in those sweepstakes. But they ended up obviously going after Pete Alonso. They got him. They got Chris Bassett. They traded for Shane Boz, who, from my understanding, they very much view him as a frontline starting pitcher there in Baltimore, and that's why they gave up the prospect package that they ultimately did. Ryan Helsley, they got some other guys in there as well, traded for Taylor Ward. I really like their offseason there. I think they're a team that's absolutely primed to take the next step with that veteran talent, and then a guy like Albernaz, who was a huge part of developing that young talent there in Cleveland. You get that him around some of those youngsters that they have. You got the makings of a pretty darn good-looking team. Do they make the playoffs? I don't know. But they're going to be much better this season than last, and I feel pretty confident in saying that there for sure. Another team is the New York Mets. I heard it almost immediately at the start of the offseason here, is that David Stearns was – in over his head that he should be fired. I heard it from all sorts of different Mets fans on Twitter, saw comments. Frank Fleming, I believe is his name. He was definitely not overreacting by any means of the imagination. And then they ended up trading for Marcus Semien. They obviously traded for Freddie Peralta, traded for Luis Robert Jr. They made some big moves there and ended up getting Bo Bichette after a failed. Well, it's just getting Bo Bichette there was crazy, especially that entire night with Kyle Tucker going to the Dodgers. It was fun. Like, here's a little inside story for everybody: is that night Tucker signs, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, it was pure madness on that front, and I'm getting ready for bed, and I get a call saying that I should dig on Bo Bichette going to Philadelphia, because it seemed like it was either very close or it was possibly done. By all accounts, it was close, but I thought maybe it could happen that night. Went to bed thinking he'd be a Philly. Told somebody in my elevator here at my apartment complex. I'm like, I watch for Bo Bichette going to Philly pretty soon here. Hour later, he goes to the Mets. Shocked the world. It was beyond crazy, but I really like what the Mets have done. I think they're absolutely better than they were last year. Bichette, I don't know. We'll see how he does at third base, but I like what Stearns did, and I love getting Freddie Peralta, a player he's very familiar with from the time with the Milwaukee Brewers. So I think that was a very good offseason from Stearns, and the fact that he withstood all the heat that he was getting, I'm not surprised, but that takes a special guy considering that market. So good job by David Stearns. I'm going to go off the beaten path here a little bit, and this might be a controversial answer, but I love what the San Diego Padres did. AJ Preller did not have the flexibility that he's had in previous years. I think that's pretty fair to say. That's not exactly breaking news. And they were pretty quiet for the majority of the offseason. They lost Robert Suarez, went to the Atlanta Braves. And then this past week or two, especially on Valentine's Day, is when he really struck. Got Griffin Canning, added some other players to the roster there as well. And it seemed like every transaction that was hitting my Twitter feed or my text messages, it involved the San Diego Padres. And they didn't add the big names by any means, but they are a team that absolutely feels like a squad that can make some noise here in the National League. And they're always a pesky franchise. They give the Dodgers, they challenge them for sure. They just have not gotten over the hump there. They've come close, but they feel like a team to me with that new coaching staff and keeping that pitching coach there in San Diego and adding some of these, I wouldn't say there's no risk, but the potential reward with some of these guys, especially a guy like Griffin Canning, who looked phenomenal last year before I ended up tearing his Achilles. I like taking those kind of those small swings there.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
So I give Preller a lot of credit because he did a lot with not so much. And I think they're going to be a team that's primed for a nice season. And another team that we don't typically hear as far as an offseason winner by any means is the Chicago White Sox. But I really like what they did. And they're a team that, you look at them right now, they're not going to compete in the American League. They're not going to be a contending team this season by any means. But unlike previous seasons, before the Chris Getz era, you can look at this thing and you can absolutely see the vision. And talking to Getz, talking to other people around that organization, Getz even told me at the GM meetings that they're extremely high on that return that they got for Garrett Crochet, that they like it just as much or even more than they previously done when they ended up making that trade with the Red Sox. And I love what they've done. Getting Murakami in free agency 2 years for $34 million, I thought was a stroke of genius by that front office there. They're a team that they should be taking those kind of swings. And if it's a short-term contract, there's very little risk whatsoever. But if it works out, you have a player where you're getting two prime years for $17 million a year, and you can watch him either stay in Chicago, hopefully for their sake, he'd stay in the in Chicago. But if it doesn't work out, it's only 2 years and he can leave. And Sir Anthony Dominguez, that's an obvious trade candidate immediately. If all goes well and he stays healthy, he's going to be a prime trade candidate at the deadline. He's going to be able to end up adding to their farm system there. So you'll hear no complaints whatsoever from me from that. I also like Eric Fetty going there as well. That's kind of a flew under the radar a little bit, but I thought that was a nice signing for them. They obviously know him. They've had a lot of success with him. So I think Getz did a nice job. And yeah, Canyon, as I talked about at the start of the show, Adam is currently on vacation. He is sound asleep. He's currently, I believe, in Florida. I think he's hanging out at the Phillies or Pirates. I don't know which one he's at right now, but he is currently doing his thing in Florida. It's valid, Uncle Ted. Like trading Luis Robert Jr., like they held on to him. It's unfortunate what ended up happening there with Luis Robert Jr. because he just oozes talent. Like he's a guy that if he stayed healthy, you could see him being one of the more talented players in ball. It just hasn't worked out for him yet. Hopefully change of scenery there helps. But the fact that they were able to get anything for him, especially Acuna, who is not a switch hitter, despite what Getz ended up saying. I know that was kind of unfortunate. He was getting dunked on for that. But like besides that blunder, I think that was a nice offseason overall by Chris Getz with the Chicago White Sox. I'm going to keep going on teams that I really like their offseasons here. Detroit Tigers. There was questions immediately starting the offseason. Do they trade Tarek Skubal? Are they going to move him? What team could he go to? What are they going to get in return? A trade never felt likely, despite a lot of people trying to speculate otherwise. Teams tried, they called, but they were pretty adamant that they wanted to hold on to him. And they obviously took him to that arbitration hearing. And before finding out the results of that, they signed Framber Valdez. And immediately, first takeaway is this. Skubal is very likely going to leave in free agency. And Valdez immediately can slot in as a replacement for Skubal in the rotation. Is that a downgrade? Like, yeah, like that's no slight on Valdez by any means, but it's just how good Tarek Skubal is. And he's going to end up getting massively paid in free agency, but you have at least one season where you have Skubal, Valdez, Jack Flaherty, other young guys as well. Like they have the makings of a very nice rotation with the Detroit Tigers. The fact that they're going for and adding such big salaries to that payroll, I give ownership their credit because I believe that's the biggest offseason signing of the Scott Harris era so far. And for a team that has that much talent and that much promise, like I would be taking swings like that too, and they should. But having to face that rotation and just that overall, that talent of a team, like deep into the season or even into the postseason, they all stay healthy. That is not going to be fun for any team trying to stay alive in the playoffs. So I really like what they did overall. I'm actually kind of embarrassed that I haven't mentioned the Chicago Cubs as of this point, because to me, they've had one of the best off seasons of any team. And Uncle Ted, I will agree with you. The Marlins outfield is rather filthy at the moment. So good shot there. But the Chicago Cubs, I mean, how could I not love what they've done so far? I was one of the biggest critics on this show of their lack of spending. And I was getting after the Ricketts family there for sure. But they went out and signed Alex Bregman, a player they coveted a year ago, missed out on him, but they finally got him on a 5-year deal. Trade for Edward Cabrera. You end up adding a bunch of different pieces to the bullpen. And I can't say it enough. The amount of times that I've had, whether it's agents or players or other teams around the league, mentioning to me the fact that the Cubs are so good at maximizing those bullpen pieces and their pitching development overall, it's a huge testament to that organization. And there's no wonder why players wanted to be with the Cubs, is they can get the most out of these guys. We watched it with Brad Keller last year. We even saw Drew Pomeranz get back to form as well. I think they did a tremendous job last year. They reaped the rewards for it this offseason and having a bunch of different guys sign there. So I think the Cubs in years past, I've always entered the season kind of skeptical about their chances of finally overtaking the Milwaukee Brewers in that division. But overall, right now, as we speak, I think they're primed to do just that, where I would entering the season here, I put the Cubs as the favorite in that division. with the Brewers in second. But I'm telling you guys, I would watch for the Pirates. I'm either going to look really smart for staking my claim in them, or I'm going to look really stupid there. I hope I look smart, because there's a lot of really smart people in that organization overall. Although it's kind of interesting. I wonder what Jack Swinski's going to look like with the Dodgers. I remember I found that out the other day that he was getting claimed by the Dodgers, and I'm just like, yeah, that that feels like a move where we could see the Dodgers just do it again, and maybe it turns into the next Max Muncy. I don't know, but I like the move for them. The fact that he's got no options though is kind of unique. I know there was some people that were kind of wondering what was going on there, but I think that's just a case of the Dodgers wanting to have as many talented players as possible. And if a team calls about their outfield depth, maybe they can have the flexibility now to pull the trigger there. So kind of got sidetracked. But also these bullpen additions for the Cubs, going back to Chicago here, is I've had multiple people point out to me, this is finally going to give Craig Counsell the flexibility that he had had in Milwaukee with bullpen options, where he can deploy them in a unique ways, try to maximize different matchups. And I think that's only going to end up helping the Cubs here, because Counsell proved to have a really strong touch and feel for that when he was in Milwaukee. So I think they're going to be in good shape here. And this one's obvious. It's the best team ever, has gotten significantly better. It's the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I think my dad's watching the show as we speak. My dad's a Giants fan. I'm sure he's not going to like that one very much, but the Dodgers, I mean, you look at that team. I mean, it's the best team ever. You add Edwin Diaz, and then you add Kyle Tucker. And I was at the winter meetings this year, and Scott Boras is doing his annual State of the Union address, and I was hanging out in back just talking to folks. And then all of a sudden, Will Salmon tweets that Edwin Diaz is going to the Dodgers. And it was an all-time freak out by writers just completely just disappearing from Boras's scrum. And it was kind of funny, and it was sheer chaos. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, did Will get hacked? Obviously he didn't. Will is tremendous at what he does. And yeah, Diaz went to the Dodgers, and all of a sudden I remember it was late in the Kyle Tucker sweepstakes, and I kind of got the feel the Jays, at like the day that he signed, were probably on the outside looking in, and it seemed like it was either going to be the Mets or the Dodgers. And late in the night, it kind of got the feel that it was heading toward the Dodgers' way. And ultimately, he ended up going there. $60 million a year. The fact that they can do that kind of contract and sign him is just a testament to that organization. They've gotten way better this offseason. They coming off of two consecutive World Series here. I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever if they ended up three-peating, because, I mean, shoot, like that team overall, injuries happen for sure, but the state of that team is just rather incredible at the moment. So shout out to Andrew Friedman, Brandon Gomes, and the entire organization, because they have maximized the Shohei Ohtani era to like the fullest extent, and it's cementing his legacy. It's cementing Friedman's, like every one of their legacies, as Hall of Fame players, executives, managers, you name it. So good for them. A team that's trying to get to that status here is the Seattle Mariners, and they were uber aggressive at the trade deadline. They obviously got Josh Naylor. They ended up getting Gino Suarez. And this offseason, as soon as like the season ended, it became super clear that Josh Naylor was the Mariners' top priority. He wanted to be there. There was obviously strong interest from the Pittsburgh Pirates. They liked him a lot. But a return to the Mariners always seemed most likely there for sure. And they got it done almost immediately. I want to say he was the first free agent off the board. Yeah, because I thought Ryan Yarbrough was going to be the first like major league free agent to sign. And then all of a sudden, Passan ended up getting the Josh Naylor scoop. And so between getting Naylor and then the guy that they had tried for months with Brendan Donovan with the St. Louis Cardinals, they got him as well. There was a few different times I actually thought Donovan was going to be going to the San Francisco Giants. Like the Giants were – I would say very aggressive in conversations with the Cardinals trying to get Donovan. Did not work out. And they ended up going in a different direction there, getting Luis Arraez, got Harrison Bader there as well. But the Giants tried for a couple different guys. Jacob Young from the Nationals was a player that they had liked, had conversations with the Nationals, just didn't line up on value. I know CJ Abrams, as Andrew Baggerly of The Athletic reported, was another one of their targets. But sticking with the Mariners, they identified Donovan as a prime target for them. They got him, and between getting him and Naylor, I thought that was a job well done by Jerry DePoto in that front office and in ownership group for stepping up and trying to get them back to the playoffs, but also to the World Series there as well. And then the other team is the A's. And you look at it, they didn't necessarily make like a huge splash by any means, but what they did is they secured their core pieces long-term here. Tyler Soderstrom was signed to a 7-year extension. He is a tremendous young player. He showed it last year, but they believe there's even more in the tank. That's why they ended up giving him that extension now. Jacob Wilson, he was third in Rookie of the Year voting last year. Showed a ton of promise there, signed him to a 7-year extension as well. And based on what Mark Kotze had said on Foul Territory, I believe, there's a chance they could extend Nick Kurtz. Obviously, like based on some people that I've spoken with, I don't necessarily know if that's the most likely thing in the entire world, but the fact that they got two of those three done, and I think it's also important, all three of those guys are like best friends, and having like that kind of core being so tight knit for the A's is going to be a super important thing for them now and going forward, and especially with them moving to Vegas. So I love what they did, despite not making a big splash here in free agency. And if they can get Kurtz done, which again, I'm kind of skeptical about that, that would be just the cherry on top of a nice offseason for them. And finally, the thing I want to wrap up with here is the Minnesota Twins. We've seen all sorts of different speculation about Joe Ryan, about Byron Buxton, especially in the wake of what ended up happening with Pablo Lopez, where he's going to be missing the entire season. I have people wondering, like, could that end up changing their stance there? My feel is probably not. I would look for the Twins to continue to hold on to both of these guys. Like, will they listen? Of course. But as of this point, I don't get the feel that it's very likely that either one of them are going to be on the move. And especially with Buxton, he's got the no trade clause and can kind of control his destiny there. Maybe if a spot with the Atlanta Braves opens up, he can consider it. But I don't get the feeling or the impression that the Twins are very likely going to move those guys. So I look for both of them to be on the Twins' opening day roster, which is going to be good for them. And then at the trade deadline, perhaps all bets are off. But I do want to appreciate and say thank you to everybody here for joining me for the live show today. It's very different here without Adam. I miss him dearly. Hopefully he's back for the show on Wednesday, but with the weather in New York, you never really know what's going to end up being happening here. But either way, you guys will be taken care of. I'll be on the podcast. We'll figure it out. But I just want to say thank you so much for everybody for tuning in. You can read my stuff on fansided.com. And I will see you everybody back here on Wednesday. Take care.